Welcome to the Casual Author Podcast. I'm Dan, sci-fi and fantasy author, father of six, full-time worker, homesteader, as well as a man of many other responsibilities. I'm here to bring you inspiration and positivity around having a busy life and wanting to chase that author career, even if you have to take a casual approach. For more information about me, my books, and the podcast, head to dankenner.com/podcast. And here's the show. Hey there, it's Dan Kenner with episode number 108 of the podcast. Today we're talking to Waterfall Adams about poetry, passion, and multi-threaded publishing. So talk to Waterfall about all of the things she's interested in and excited about and the different ways that she's taking her writing to the next level and bringing it to readers like you. So we have a really fun conversation about those passions. I think you'll really enjoy that. But today is Monday, February 26, 2024, as I record this. I don't know what year I think I'm in. The other day I wrote 2025 on something, so I clearly am year confused. But it's still 2024. It's not 2025 yet, but yes, in terms of news, this last week was a little bit of a whirlwind because we headed down to Utah yet again to my son's archery competition. Now, he's been in archery for, I want to say this is his third year in it. He started just before he turned eight, and he's had a blast. He's really enjoyed it. This was a particular challenge for him because he doesn't normally shoot at 20 yards. He normally shoots at 10 yards, which is half the distance. The reason he shot at 20 for this competition was it was a national competition, so held all throughout the nation. And it's an organization where they don't have 10-yard shoots. The shortest distance you can shoot is 20 yards. And, you know, he's been practicing for a few months at 20 yards and been doing okay. He struggled for a little while because, you know, he's used to shooting. His arrow can reach the target just fine. But accounting for the distance is just something different. But he actually did very, very well. So he more than doubled his score at the last competition he did shooting. It wasn't actually a competition. It was like a an achievement thing. He did it for personal achievement. He can get these pins. They're almost like black belts, or excuse me, they're almost like belts in martial arts. So when he did that for his personal shoot, he did more than double better at this competition. So it was really great. Going down to Utah is always a weird, surreal experience because that's where I grew up. And I don't really have any intention of moving back there. I like living here where we live in Idaho. So, but you know, it was weird going down and seeing all the different changes that have come to the location where we used to live. But he did very well. I'm proud of him. And I hope that he continues working with his archery because it's a great skill to have. So because of that, I didn't do lots of writing. I didn't do lots of marketing and just kind of put pause on a lot of various things. But back into the writing now. I am probably about 5/6 done with my next short story for Writers of the Future. So I'm just patiently waiting for the results of Writers of the Future. Not that I'm expecting anything per se, but you know, you always wonder, is the short story or is anything that I wrote any good? So I was actually pretty proud of and happy with my last submission to Writers of the Future. So we'll see what happens. I mean, who knows? It's a competition against a bunch of other authors, so it's not necessarily just me writing the best thing I've ever written for myself. Did I write something better than thousands of other authors? But I don't know. We'll see. Looking forward to hearing back from that. I am pretty happy with the way this new one is turning out. It took a direction I was not planning at all, but that thus is the nature of a discovery writer. I had no idea where it was going when I first started, and it's turning out to be far more complex than I planned originally. Well, planned is a loose term because I don't plan anything. So yeah, that is fun. I've also been coordinating with Brian Cohen's Author Ad School, just trying to learn a little bit more about ads, tinkering with those a little bit more, trying to identify what to do about marketing the Lightbearer Chronicle. So those of you listening, if you're not familiar with my first series, my epic fantasy series that I wrote, I put myself in a little bit of a pickle with the way I wrote it. Once again, discovery writer. I didn't really know where I was going with it. The series turned out awesome. I had a lot of people say they really liked it. But in terms of marketing, it's really challenging because one of the main characters, it has three kind of main-ish characters, two protagonists and an antagonist that's kind of main. And the first one is a 16-year-old, so obviously his chapters have a very YA-esque feel. And then the second protagonist is in her 20s, mid-20s, so definitely more of an adult feel to her chapters. And then the antagonist is in his 30s. So you can imagine trying to find a market for that is a little tricky in terms of age group. They're appropriate for all ages, but I mean, there's some violence. It's an epic fantasy. It's what you can expect. I had someone complain via reviews, which is it's totally fine, not a problem at all, that they did not expect it to be a YA book, which technically it's not, right? Roughly two-thirds of it are not a YA perspective, but the first book has more heavy chapters of that YA character, and then he kind of falls into the back end for, he goes into the background for the second two books. So a little bit tricky, not complaining. That's what I did. That's what you get for not writing to market. But, I'm having a fun time trying to figure that out. Trying to mess with the keywords. Amazon has very aptly stuck my those books into a YA category, which I think is disappointing to some YA because it's not really written for a YA audience. But at the same time, it's not really written for a purely adult audience. So anyway, it's fine. I'm having a fun time trying to figure that out, getting lots of impressions and views to my ads via the Amazon Ads console, but not a lot of clicks and buys. So yes, I need to figure that out. Playing to the audience, perhaps a little bit better in my descriptions. Other than that, in terms of authoring, nothing new has come about. Still just coming off of the tiredness of going to that author conference. But I think now that I've had a week to determine, I may consider doing it again, although it could also possibly get added to my never do again list. So it's really right in the center for me. I have to decide if it's worth doing it. Just the exhaustion, as well as the work that went into it. It's hard to see. I'm sure I would get better with time, but it's hard to see if it will ever return as much as I put into it. Not until I have more books, I'll say that. Right now, I only have 8 books. Maybe when I have 20, 30 books, could be more worth it because I can have more selection and talk to more people about things. But my books are kind of niche at the moment. But yeah, thinking about that, and no other news in terms of authoring. Now in homesteading, also not a lot of news there. It's been very warm, so our goats are loving life. There's not snow on the ground very much anymore. They're running around. They're used to Toulouse is the name of our buck, and Merrick. Yes, the character from my book. Merrick is the other castrated male goat who's his friend. I say friend loosely because they fight a lot. It's just the male dominance thing. They're all mingling very well and having a good time. Now, my wife counted the actual weeks until our goats will have their babies, and it's looking about 3 to 4 weeks, which is wild. It came up really fast on us. I kept thinking, oh, it's far away. It's far away. Our goats aren't going to be kidding anytime soon, but it's right upon us. Now, we have all the things we need in terms of supplies. But last year, kidding was rough. If you weren't listening to the podcast last year, I'll just give you a little bit of a rundown. We fell behind a little bit on our goats and nutrients. They're not like life essential nutrients, but they're nutrients that can aid a pregnant doe to birth their babies more effectively. It can also make it so that they just have a more healthy reproductive system and they more likely have multiple babies. Now it was one of those things where we just ran out of supply and thought, oh, we really need to get this. We really need to get this. We fell behind. And by the time we got it again, they were actually so close to kidding that giving it to them didn't really help it that much. But we had some rough kidding moments. A goat having their kid in the middle of the ground, not any place warm and safe. We actually had a kid die from that because we couldn't warm it up fast enough. She was just kind of running around and panicked when the baby came out. We saved the other two. She had triplets, but one of them unfortunately passed away. And then we had another one that was just so big that it got stuck. So don't need to get into the nitty-gritty details on that one, but I had to pull that one out safely, of course. Everybody's fine. It came out fine. It was just a little bit rough. And then we had a bunch that had babies in the middle of the night, which is just horrible. 3 a.m. was one of them. Another one was, I think, 4 a.m. So it was not great. It was our least fun kidding year so far. And I think this will be our 5th year. The first three were pretty chill. They had them at decent times in the mornings. There was no complications. They had the number of babies that we would have expected, two, three. One of them even had four. for their, second, third time being pregnant. So I don't know. I'm hopeful this will be a better year because we've been better at keeping up on their supplements and making them more prepared for it. But still, a little bit nervous. I already don't get enough sleep with my children. No complaints. Totally happy with them. But it should be interesting to also not get sleep potentially because of goat children. And hopefully, we don't have to bottle feed any this year. Bottle feeding is just not for us. If you've ever had to bottle feed an animal, you know how much work goes into it. Not that, once again, we aren't equipped to handle that work. We can do it, but it's one of those things where convenience makes a little more sense in our case because we have a lot going on. So what's called dam raising, it just means you don't bottle feed them. You just let them eat off of their mother's udders, their teat. And they tend to not be as friendly when they do that. If you bottle feed a goat, they will follow you to the end of the earth and back, continuing to yell at you because they want attention and they want food. But when they're dam raised, not as friendly. So you can still make them friendly by petting them and hanging out with them. That's what we try to do before we sell them off to other people for pets. But yeah, we'll see. That's coming right around the corner. And our mind is on that. And with the warmer winter, we're thinking, how soon could we start growing things? Now, that's the thing about living in this part of Idaho. Flash frosts are a real thing, so we can't be too confidently planting things, but you never know. I mean, maybe there's some early plants that we can get in that are a little bit frost resistant. So we're looking at that as a possibility. Nothing too crazy though, because yeah, we have another baby coming. I believe that's everything in terms of homestead updates and family updates. So we can go ahead and shift over to the interview portion with Waterfall. Hey, Waterfall, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, and you?
Doing very, very well. I'm excited to talk to you about poetry. I don't have a ton of experience with poetry, so you'll have to enlighten me on that. But how long have you been writing and publishing?
Well, I've been writing for a while now, like a long time, and I've been self-publishing my books. In fact, this month, on February the 1st, 2021, this year marks the third anniversary when my debut book, The Eclectic Mind of V, was self-published and released.
That is awesome. Happy anniversary of your
Thank
book. That's always exciting. So, what led you to self-publish your books?
I feel like after a lot of research, like I always do want to write a book, and also with the digital age that we live in, it's easier to do. And also, I have like more control over my works than I do a traditional publishing because they can be highly selective.
How does it look for poetry? As I said, I've never talked to anybody who has considered traditional publishing via the poetry route. Is it very, very selective as well for that?
Well, if any genre with the traditional publishing, they can be highly selective depending on the traditional publishing company.
Did you look at any companies prior to self-publishing, or were you were all in on self-publishing from the beginning?
Well, doing a lot of research, and then I realized self-publishing might work better for me, especially with KDP.
Yeah, KDP is awesome. It's an excellent resource. I know that it has been excellent for me. So for your poetry, do you write anything else besides poetry, or is that where you spend most of your writing?
Well, I am working on a third book right now. It's a non-poetry book. It's called Make Money While Sitting on Your Ass, with the word ass is spelled A, United States of America, dollar sign, dollar sign.
Okay, so what's that about? What's the premise of that? Obviously, I mean, it's in the title, but well, what can we expect from that story?
Well, different experiences, like for example, like my trouble with the trying to find a job and the trying to navigate through the job force, that it's not like it was in pre older generations, and things you can like work from home, remote work. Like, you don't have to be sitting on your ass at home. You can be sitting on your ass at a cafe or a beach or a hotel.
So is that what you currently do? Do you travel and work remotely or not
Yeah, I
yet?
do. Yeah, times when I do try, I do have like whatever device I have with me, like my laptop, my smartphone, my tablet, and maybe sometimes will I use the hotel's computer. And also, people make money off their smartphone. There's other things you can do. And also, what inspired this book was the 2020 pandemic, because it really changed things a lot.
Yes, definitely affected a lot of people. Now, I've been working remotely for about 6 years now, so I'm well acquainted with the prospect of working remotely. Are you working full time as an author, publishing? Is that what you do full time, or do you have other jobs on the side?
Well, I do have other things I do. I do micro tasks. I review books. I beta read books. I do want to get into acting,
Okay.
modeling, maybe singing, and do like audio books. Like I mentioned before, like these two books, this other one, Free to Be Z, it came out in the summer of 2022. They're both available on Amazon and other outlets. If not, I'm trying to get their on there. They're also available on the ebook versions, and I'm trying to get the audiobook versions together.
Okay. So you're recording those yourself?
Yes, it's just like the certain software and certain equipment I need to get.
Yes, coincidentally, this microphone that I'm using currently was intended for, I was going to make my own audiobooks, but I went into the process is quite lengthy. So my books are long and I just didn't, ha I don't have the time to record them today. But yeah, just get yourself a nice microphone and a nice, sound padded room. You should be able to record it, I think.
Or find a recording studio in my local area.
Yeah, that's true. Are those pretty available where you are?
Probably I'm gonna take a good look.
Surely you can find something. But yeah, I actually haven't looked. I'm a little bit in the country where I live, so I'm not very close to a lot of things. I'm not sure a recording studio is possible. But so for your poetry, where did you find the inspiration for the poems that you wrote?
Well, my own everyday life was going on in the world.
Yeah, do you have an example of one of your favorite poems, maybe that you can share?
Well, this particular poem, I'm trying to adapt it in the stage in or screen. It's called "We Have to Dance." It's a African American dance, the history of it. Yes, it's a lot of things I need to do before I get it like produced, like a lot of research and other things. Like costumes, dances, of course, and the music and like settings and things. And it's Black History Month, so here we go. And it's also featured in this book, but what I'm reading from right now has more of a revised version. I might also have some more things like the updated, expanded things sometime in the future. Now here we go. As a people, we have to dance way back in the motherland. Through times of joy, sadness, rites of to heal, and rites of passage, we have to dance. We always have to dance. Through times of enslavement, we still have to dance, even when they try to take it away. We dance through the shade. From the juke joints to the migration, we have to dance. Even when it's time to pay the rent, we had to dance. Through depression and worldwide war, we have to dance. In the dance studios and sock hops, we have to dance. On television and through civil unrest, we have to dance. Live and in color, we can get smooth and we can get rough. Live and in color and integrated. Through the Soul Train days and the disco nights, we have to dance. With BET, MTV, and VH1, we have to dance. Through social media, we have to dance. At Broadway, church, the club, community centers, competition, Hollywood, television, social gatherings, universities, all over the world, we have to dance. We even put our own spin on it. Because of this, I can shape what my ancestors gave me and get my Jackson on. So to the future and beyond, we have the names. Thank you.
I love that. That is so amazing. And you mentioned you wanted to get into dancing a little bit more. Is that related to your interest
Yes, it
in
is.
Awesome. Do you have a specific type of dance that you're interested in, or just all types of dancing?
Like different types of dancing, like samba. I like ballet. I like jazz dance. I like African dance. I like let me think of some more dances. Different types of dances. Yes. Oh, samba. I already mentioned samba, right?
You did. Yes.
Yeah. That. Oh, hula.
Okay. I mean, that's awesome.
What are you?
I love ballroom dancing. I quite enjoy that. I did it quite a bit when I was in college in my younger years. Samba is quite fun, so I can recall enjoying that quite a bit. So, how do you plan on integrating? So, you mentioned your poetry comes from your life experiences, and here's an amazing example which you've read for us. Do you anticipate continuing writing poetry?
Yes, if I have anything to write poetry about, I will write it.
Okay. Hopefully it's a yes, right? Hopefully you have lots of great experiences to write poetry about. Now, these books that you've already published, are they a part of a series? Are they connected to each other in ways, or are they just independent of each other?
Never thought about, well, since they both have the word V in it, probably connected somehow in a way.
Sure. But it's not necessarily like a story narrative. You know, it's not poetry about one specific. I mean, it's kind of about you, right? But it's not like story type
About
poetry.
different topics. Like,
Okay.
for example, this one is about the art, blackness, 21st century issues, and you might find some personification points.
Okay.
While Free to Be Z is about freedom, race, religion, womanhood, even a tribute poem about to one of her poetic inspirations.
Oh, cool. That is awesome. Do you find it's difficult to write poetry? Because I find it difficult. I'm not sure that I am
No.
very good at it. But does it come easy for you?
I think it does, and I'm also trying to learn as more like poetic forms, like for example, there's free verse, haiku, etc., sonnets.
Some reason limericks comes to mind, but that's not. Limericks aren't a super beautiful form of poetry. I mean, maybe you can make it beautiful. I have no idea. That's the only poetry I've ever written, I think, in my life. Back in like grade school, it was required to write some limericks. But you know, so what got you into poetry? How did you, what's your story and how you began with this
Yeah,
publishing?
probably written this is probably really high school, the guy friends, and then when I was at University of South Alabama, I did poetry perform spoken word poetry in different events, even like some talent shows. I may not have won those talent shows, but I didn't get booed.
Okay. Did you get cheered? I don't, do they cheer at poetry performances, or is that a thing? I don't know.
They do clap,
Okay.
yes, or snap or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen those, I don't know, renditions of poetry versus presentations and people snap. I wasn't sure if that was a real thing or not, but sounds like it might be. Now, do you have anybody supporting you or encouraging you through this, or is this, are you just doing this out of your own motivations?
Well, partly, well, God and my mom and my own motivations.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. So your mother is a great supporter, I hope.
Yes,
I
yeah,
would
she
hope.
edited the first two books.
Nice. That is very handy. Editing is very nice to know someone who enjoys and is good at editing.
From Murray State University. It was like a major in elementary education with a minor in language arts. At a time, like she was after college, she was working at a like Xerox or whatever, where she edited this book, and you will not believe who this book she edited from. Mein Kampf from Adolf Hitler.
Oh my goodness. Wow, that's interesting.
Like the like spelling mistakes or grammar errors or something.
I bet that was an experience.
Yeah, well, which I was surprised to hear about, and I was like, hey, maybe you can find like other books from different dictators and see about any spelling mistakes or grammar errors over there from them.
Now, I'm assuming that was an English translation, or does your mother speak German as well?
Oh, probably the English translation.
Some people have interest in language learning, so like myself, but I mean, that's what an interesting history. And I don't enjoy editing. Do you enjoy editing your own stories, or?
Not really, but hey, thank God there's like the little when you type on the computer, there's a little spell check.
It's wonderful. I use that as much as I
But then,
possibly can.
yeah, but then again, sometimes there's things that on like the spell check that a real person, the real person would recognize it, but spell check might not.
Well, particularly when you make up words. So I write fantasy, and science fiction, and sometimes there's not real words, and spell check doesn't know how to spell
Or
words from a fantasy world.
maybe it's words in a different language, like set it up like let's say French and try to do like make and it would like act like edit the like according to like that language's grammar rules or something.
Yes, I would have to teach it, which I'm sure you can do. I've never done that before, though. So, seems like a lot of work. I'm not sure if it's worth it. I don't know, perhaps. So your first book was published 3 years ago, and you published another one in that time. What are you currently working on? I mean, you mentioned that the book about making money, and then is there another poetry book that you're currently working on?
Well, maybe like just more books I'm trying to re do the research for because there's certain genres you gotta do in-depth research. For example, I'm trying to work on a true crime book.
Okay.
It's I call it Clout Killer. It's about Yolanda Holmes and Kwame Wilson.
I'm actually
One
unfamiliar
thing
with that.
that inspired me to write that book is another true crime about Lance Hurt from. This book is from Ron Stodgehill called Redbone, The Millionaire and the Gold Digger, or The Gold
Wow.
Digger and the Millionaire. Either way, for example, the word Redbone, it means someone who, an African American who has light skin.
Interesting. I've not read that book before,
Well,
but
it's a good one. It's just, I remember I heard about this Dion Ba and Lance Herndon case through the auction TV show Snack. But then I read the book years later, and there are some things like the other show that talks about this case don't mention. Besides, they got an hour and 30 minutes to cover it. But when you read the book, there's like more details about the case that you that and about these people you don't know. For example, Dion Ba, she was born in Jamaica, and then how she met her husband, her now ex-husband, in Miami, and like he was a pilot, and he'll be gone most of the time being a pilot for like Air Jamaica, while her now ex-husband Sean was away, Dion started to play, and that's and they did have a daughter named Amanda, and that's how like she went. She was working at MARTA, which is like the transit company in Atlanta, Georgia. And she was going to school at Georgia State University to study like finance. And while working at MARTA, she tried did something like where she can get like a invitation to Lance Herndon's 41st birthday party. And that's how they met. The thing is, Lance, he was a bit of, he ran a company called Access Eager Tech Company. But the thing about Lance was he was a player. He was divorced three times. And like it was April when his birthday happened in 1996, but 4 months later, he was murdered.
Fascinating. I had not heard of this, so I appreciate you explaining it. So it sounds like you have a fascination in true crime as well.
Yeah. Yes, in this case that I'm working about, Yolanda Holmes and Kwame Wilson, it happened like over a decade ago. Like her, like Yolanda Holmes, she had a beauty sub, hair like a hair salon called Nappy Heads in like in Chicago, and her son was like a local rapper, has on YouTube channel called Young, where Young without the O, QC as in the Q and the C works instead of the work O in the works is the was like U, and he has some kind of YouTube series called Nick Stories. The thing was, he had his mom killed for his insurance money. The female he knew was like the getaway driver, and the guy who had the hitman, he know these people. Even Yolanda Holmes knew these people. It happened at night. Like Yolanda's boyfriend and was they like there sleeping in the condo or whatever. And Kwame told like the hitman Eugene Spencer, make sure that bitch is dead. The thing was like she kinda like if she he was her like only son and she kinda like spoiled him, but then she was gonna cut him off financially. She was like 23. And she and us it's just it was like $70,000 or and more money plus like more money from the insurance policy or whatever. I think it was 90,000. It was a lot of money. But the thing is, do you know how much Kwame paid the hitman? Like $70. And that's when the hitman snitched.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Kwame Wilson is now doing 99 years while the hitman's doing 100. And the lady who did that, the getaway driver's she's only like 14 years. I think she's probably out now. I need to do some more research. And also, what kind of like got Kwame caught? He like there was this like video of him that went viral of him. He went to the bank, got this like money, and you know, the slang to like make it rain, like you toss money and then go down like it rain. You know, you probably heard like hip hop songs or whatever, seen the hip hop videos. That was like blood money. Like he had his mom killed for. And also his social media account showed him like these different luxury items, like look like Louis Vuitton luggage and these luxury cars and stuff and flaunting this money and stuff. That's what did it in for him.
Well, it's really dumb to do that, but I mean, that true crime is so fascinating because
It's
it's just
true.
wild the thing. It's true, yeah, for one, and it's wild the things that people do and come up with. So when you're writing this book, are you planning on writing it in like is it almost like documentary type book that you're planning on writing, or are you hoping to like fictionalize it? I mean, it's not fiction, but turn it into like a story.
It's like a true crime book.
Okay, so
I
kind of
had to do
documentary.
more research. Maybe I might have to interview Kwame Wilson himself, get a side of the story on these other people who are involved, if they are willing to talk, or people who knew these people, Yolanda Holmes and Kwame, if they are willing to talk.
I mean, yeah, are they close by? Because you'd have to visit them and
I'm in the South. This case took place in Chicago, Illinois.
okay, so you'd have to go north.
Yeah, more Midwest. Yeah, I'm about to go
Oh, I mean, I
there.
wasn't sure where they are today, but I mean, that would be really well, that would be a really fascinating and compelling book to read for sure if you were able to get interviews.
Yes, especially I don't have anybody written any books about this case.
You know, I don't know. You haven't read any, it sounds like. So, how do you do your research for these? Is just mostly internet searches? Is that
Maybe internet searches, maybe like book searches, like just like when I have a degree in art history with a minor in drama. It's like
Oh.
some of the class I took, I think it was like for ancient Greek and Roman art and architecture. I had to get an ancient source, which means I have to get off my ass, go to my university's library, and found something like written by these like. Somebody who lived like back then, you know.
Do you like researching? Is that something you enjoy doing?
Yes, but if you can't get stressed, there used to have been time I had time where I had like either two or three research papers. I mean, at the same time, it can get stressful. And finals is about to come up after that.
Of course. I mean, but you're researching for your books a lot. So, I
I
mean,
have to research them
there's.
because this book, true crime book I'm working on, it's about real people, real events
Right.
that happened. And I don't want to get sued for like defamation or whatever.
Oh, yes, that's true. That could easily happen.
And
I
another book I'm
personally.
working on. Oh, I'm
No,
sorry, go ahead.
please. No, please. What are you
One
saying?
book, it's about, Kenny Babyface Edmonds and Michael Jackson. I call it Ken and Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to appeal it to like all ages.
So that'll be almost like a biography type.
For an illustrator, maybe hire an illustrator for this one this time.
Okay. So you're hoping to make it like a kid's book type.
Yeah, kiddish, yes. Even to make sure like appeal it to like adults too. And also, like the thing is, trying to make sure they, I still need to do researches because one of them just yesterday won their 13th Grammy, and the other one, his death shocked the world. And you know how much that in a state, that money, and if I they could sue me for Lord knows how much money I don't have. Oh, when he passed, you know who I'm talking about. You remember June 25th, 2000. Now, you know who I'm talking about. Oh, you remember where you was when he passed away.
I do remember that. It was a very momentous, and it was an interesting day from what I
Different
recall.
like social media websites crashed. Like first, Farrah Fawcett passed away that day from cancer, but then Michael Jackson when he died, oh no. Because I remember watching the TV and sounding like he died. I remember dropping the remote control of my sister called, and she thought I was probably having a nervous breakdown because I loved Michael Jackson.
Absolutely amazing, his music and just his entertainment. And yeah, I remember.
He passed away coming 15 years this June,
Yeah, wow,
and
time
his
goes
albums,
fast.
and his albums topped the charts again. And I remember going to the mall that Saturday, like the hallway and different stores played his music. And I remember FYE, which is For Your Entertainment, was like a music store
Yes.
playing his music. They were playing his music, videos, and like albums, either like made by him, even the albums made by his whole family, either songs that are like written and produced by him, they were gone.
My goodness. Yeah, all of these memories. It seems like yesterday, but been 15 years. That's insane. I'm aging myself. I shouldn't say anything more than that. But so, I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of amazing projects and ideas. How are you organizing them? How are you deciding which ones to work on first?
Which ones? I'm working on, like I said, I'm working on a third book right now. And then, like the other projects I just mentioned, I really need to do the research and get things correctly because I don't want to get sued and discuss. Like, I'm working with a company that helped me with the marketing and promotion. And we either discuss how we're going to market and promote them. It's digital, a precious digital marketing agency. They're a company in Nigeria. They have been helping me with like, they did my book trailers, my promos, my logo, and we're trying to get a crowdfunding site together. I might even need to talk to them how we're going to promote this third book and how to maybe get my own like website,
Yeah, at what author websites are definitely important. I know that was one of the things I learned way back in the beginning of my journey is the importance of having like a hub about you as an author,
Yes,
right?
even though I do have two blogs, I might need to
Two
talk to them about
blogs.
the site.
Okay, you blog. You are very versatile. You also
Thank
blog.
you.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I need to get back more into that, especially the second blog that I started. It's called Veronica Online Art Gallery, where I critique my favorite artworks because I feel with that blog, I like my the art history part of my degree is being put into good use.
Yeah.
Especially Black History Month, I need to find a black artist or something, and maybe discuss that person's artwork that I like.
Yeah. That'd be extremely meaningful, particularly this month. So art history, where did your interest in art history come from? Is that
Well,
something you've always been interested in?
I was gonna, I was an art studio major when I was at South. But I did better in art history major, art history classes than I did in art studio class. You know, I had something to fall back on, you know, like maybe graphic design, in this case, the ad career don't work out. But I did better in art history classes, and my advisor at the time told me to consider changing my major to that. So I did. Even though, like, the first semester I took five classes, couldn't hang, and ended up academic probation.
So you do art as well, it sounds like. Are you an artist as well?
Well, I do plan on doing like a photography. Well, being a writer, it is an art form with it in itself. Is that
Sure,
fair?
but visual arts is what I was referring to. I should have
Yeah.
clarified
Well, I do
the issues.
want to do like a photography book. I just need to get the photography equipment.
Yeah, yes. And there's a lot of options.
Oh, about Photoshop, because the art of photography, it has evolved more from the daguerreotype. If you don't know what a daguerreotype is, it's like a French technique from like early photography.
I have heard the name, but I'm not as familiar with it. Sounds like something you would be experienced with it for sure, particularly with your degree. But photography is really amazing. I think, yeah, the tricky thing is
At
procuring
first,
the equipment, right?
yeah, at first with the photography, people thought it was going to replace paintings. But clearly, we see it hasn't.
Sure. Nope. There's definitely lots of painters out there, and I very much value their work. I'm not a visual artist. I'm only an author, written artist, you could say. So for your cover art, who did the art for your books?
I did it through
Nice.
that KDP cover design.
Oh, cool.
Match colors that, kind of match the book, like eclectic amount of V, like with the colors blue and pink, it kind of caught my eye. And
I love that.
green, like in the Western, like color means freedom.
That is
It's the
awesome.
color of my third books, the e-book version and the paperback versions have like green and gold, which mean like those colors mean like money. Like green as in like the United States dollar,
Oh.
or like like wealth.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense given the nature of the book. I'm colorblind, actually. So I can't imagine designing my own cover. I'm impressed someone who's not colorblind can match colors because I can't do that. But your covers are awesome. They're very fun. And I think
Thank you.
they're reflective of, I sounds like what the contents of your books are. So your books are, poetry books, so organization wise, is it like a poem per page? Is that how you formatted everything, or?
Yeah, like poem for page, and also I put in my social media, and like in my second book, also talking about like about the, like intro and on the third book, I put in a disclaimer. Like, it is like a poem per page. And also, if my books, and I give this advice to authors, please put in the cover, like the copyright page in them. And also, it ha like register them to be like copyright or whatever. Or if the agitator already does that, I'm gonna look more into that.
Yes, all the different things. Lots of different steps, but all of that content, back or front matter, as people call it, is very important to. And once you have a website, then you can point back to your website so they can find you.
Yes.
I think.
Yes. Like at the time of this video, for example, I am not married. I do not have any children. Also, I need like being like a writer and author in general is a business within itself. And this lady from her name is Tammy L. Martin. Big shout out to her. So I have a media kit, for example, like professional photos.
Nice.
Make sure I like do like more of these interviews like I'm doing right now, and also ask questions before I do like the podcast interviews or whatever. Like, not all podcasts are the same. Like, some do interviews, some do not. Some charge a fee, some do not. Some ask for a donation, some don't. Some do like what we're doing right now, the video podcast, as you see me, I see you. Some do like audio, like Spotify or Apple Podbeans, etc.
Yeah, but it's a great marketing method though, particularly if you like to tell people about yourself and just have a good conversation. I like to keep it casual, but I actually do both video and just the audio on like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everything. So it's everywhere.
And also with the video, like I have these books with me,
Yeah.
like even though these are the paperback versions, I won't show people the viewer proof of the product's actual existence. Because anybody could say, I wrote a book, but where the book at?
Yes. Are your books currently, it looks like they're in Kindle Unlimited, so you don't publish the ebook anywhere else. Have you taken your paperbacks to, let's say, Ingram Spark as well?
I might look more into that for.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth looking into. So Ingram Spark, it's free to set up. You don't have to pay a fee or anything, but they distribute your book to
Yeah,
more than
I heard
just Amazon. They can, you can put on like Target.com, on a bunch of bookstores around the world. They just open it up and put it everywhere. So
Yeah, I'm gonna look more into that.
I would recommend it. I have published my books to Ingram Spark, and
And I do plan on doing like book signings, maybe before my
yeah.
poetry, either my like public, like you actually get off my behind, get out of my house, go to a venue like a cafe or whatever venue that will allow you to perform your poetry and do that, and also get off my behind. Oh wait, hold on, we don't get behind yet, as in order copy of copies of my book, bring my own payment method, and do the book signing.
I've never done one. So I don't have advice for that, but once you do, you'll have to let me know what you learn. If you
Yeah,
learn some things from
any
it.
advice I want to give, like call the venue if they allow it, or do you have to pay a venue fee? Like I did call a local cafe recently, and they talking about I get to keep what I make, or ask if they charge like a certain percentage of what you make from this book signing or book reading or whatever. And also, I've been trying to call my alma maters, Bishop State Community College and University of South Alabama, if I could do like a poetry reading. I would do like maybe at my high school that I graduated from, WP Davidson High School, but do like with my the books have some profanity in it. I don't know if they'll approve. It's not like the hardcore profanity
But
that
the
I don't,
soft stuff.
yeah, more
So,
soft.
well, it's funny, there's lots of ways to make money from your home sitting in your chair, but there are certain things that, like you said, require you to get off your behind. And I think I have my first in-person selling event next week, so we'll see how that goes. I'm headed to a writers conference,
Yeah,
so.
maybe I might also need to do that too, but travel more. Go to
Yeah.
write, like raise money for like travel fees and go to writers conference.
There's a bunch,
Maybe
probably
do some
locally.
late price so I won't have to buy two seats.
But I mean, I don't know the process for each vendor, but I know there's lots of different writer conferences, probably
On an
close to.
airplane.
Oh, on the
Like I'm,
airplane.
yeah.
I thought you meant at the conference. I was like, I don't know that they necessarily would require that, but
Because I'm a full figured woman, as you can see.
hey, so you can be comfortable, right? That's
Yeah.
definitely want you to be as comfortable as possible. Flying is not comfortable for anybody, but try to do the best you can to make yourself comfortable. I love that.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate you coming today and sharing about your poetry. I'm very interested in it. Like I said, my poetry is not something I'm very experienced with, but if people want to buy copies of your book or keep up on what you're working on, where can they find more information about you and your books?
Well, they're on Amazon. Maybe I can put the website on the chat section.
I actually do have your link. You sent it to me, which is perfect. So I can
Yes.
share that via the podcast. It'll be on YouTube. People can find it. But do you have any other, your blogs? Do you have links to your blogs if people want to keep an eye on those?
I'm about to send some links through the chat right
Perfect.
now.
Awesome. I did see your YouTube. That's right. You have a YouTube channel. Very, very versatile. I'm very impressed with
Thank
everything you're
you.
doing. That's good. Keep your options open. Very organized as well. You had those links so fast.
Yes, thank God for the clipboard.
Yeah. Yes. Indeed. The number of things that I have there all the time. Very impressive. But well, hey, thank you for joining me today. This has been an amazing conversation.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
I hope you found that as beneficial and interesting as I did. Talking to Waterfall was encouraging because she has this passion for everything, and making the time for the things that you love is very important. We can get distracted by things that aren't as important and lost in those things. And so talking to her was very motivating. Hopefully I'll be able to do the things that I need to and want to do. But next week, we'll be talking to Brady Hunsaker about pulling your reader into the world. We talk about world building. We talk about the premise and the thought behind why he wrote his series, the Ring Dweller series, as well as the science behind it. We talk a little bit about methods for pulling your reader into the world and not overdoing it with world building. So it's a great conversation. I think you're really going to enjoy that. So tune in for that. Now, if you do want to contact me for any reason, I did set up an email just now. You can contact me at dan@thecasualauthor.com. Exactly how it sounds, exactly how it's spelled. dan@thecasualauthor.com. That will send to me and I'll be able to respond to you. Also, if you'd like to join me on the podcast, head to thecasualauthor.com, fill out the pitch form. Love to have you. I really like to talk to people about various things about publishing, artists, cover artists, just artists who work with indie authors or authors in general. Would love to talk to you, anybody. This is a very positive place to talk about publishing, and hopefully you're gaining the skills and learning the tips to help you be a more effective author. Thanks for listening today, and I look forward to talking to you next week.